Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got our good buddy Rod Kurtz back with us. Rod is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. That's the first thing on his resume where, or whenever he sends his bio out for any kind of recognition, he always says, you know, the first thing he says is, I'm a member of Jim Blasingame's Brain Trust. He's so proud of that. But and then he tells them he's also senior editor with Inc. Magazine, that other gig he has, and he's our good friend. Rod Kurtz, welcome back to the show.
How are you, my friend? You are always gracious with your introductions.
It's good to have you back. Of course, I had the order right there, didn't I? I mean, you always do that, don't you?
Of course, yeah. It's the first thing at the top of the resume.
Hey, listen, you guys had a big soiree in Washington last week, didn't you?
We did indeed. It was a great time. It was the annual Inc. 500, Inc. 5000 conference where we not only honor people and companies that made our Inc. 500 and Inc. 5000 lists, but it's a great opportunity for entrepreneurs to get together, especially during tough times, and really just talk shop and trade secrets and share a few war stories.
Well, I know you had a good one because I talked to some friends who were down there and said you guys had a good time, so congratulations on that. Anybody that, you know, any kind of event or a cause or excuse to raise the consciousness level of the world for entrepreneurs is the right thing to do, and so I congratulate you guys on doing that every year.
Well, I appreciate that. It was actually, you know, I've been to at least a half a dozen of them at this point, and, you know, it was fascinating. We're in the middle of a recession. You know, there's some reasons to be optimistic, but we had a record turnout, believe it or not, more than 1,700 people traveling from all across the country to come to this event, and I think it sort of speaks volumes to entrepreneurs' attitudes in tough times, that they're looking for every advantage they can find, and they want to talk to people who can understand and relate to what they're going through. We had the Secretary of Commerce was there, who announced a new initiative for entrepreneurs and small business owners. So I think if I had to cite one emotion that was pervasive throughout the convention center, it was optimism. I think that
right.
Entrepreneurs are optimistic by nature, but they've been through this before. They've weathered the storm, and they're really they're looking forward.
Well, absolutely, and you know, I completely agree with you. And I'll tell you, I was at a conference about 2 weeks ago in Orlando, Small Business Development Centers, the ASBDC conference, and there was a record number of people there. So I think you're right. I think these are the kind of indicators to me that you don't hear a lot about in the news. These are the kind of indicators that tell me what you and I have known for a long time, and that is that you can't put a lid on entrepreneurs for very long. We're not gonna allow you to hold us down for very long because Rod, we're pathological optimists.
And that's what it makes. That's why it's so fun to cover them. And we did some surveys. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the vast majority of CEOs that attended the event said they're planning to hire in the next 12 months. So as you know very well. Small businesses are the ones that generate jobs in this economy, and they're the ones that are going to pull us out of this mess.
Well, there's no question about it. And I've been saying that for a year. I've been saying that whatever we're in, whatever we're going into, whatever happens, what will bring us out of this is going to be small business. And when I say that, Rod, I'm talking about from a quality standpoint, because
yeah, these are.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to agree with you that these are companies that have real jobs, quote unquote, that they're not
yeah.
They're not just moving money around. I actually moderated a series of panels in June across the country. We did small events for entrepreneurs in different cities, and I actually ended each event. It sort of became a catchphrase almost that our office is at Seven World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan, just a few blocks from Wall Street. And I said, I work a few blocks from Wall Street. They're the ones that got us into this mess. You're the ones that are going to get us out of it. Because
exactly.
They actually make stuff and do things and create real jobs. And it's inspiring to see in these tough times, these are the ones that are adding the jobs.
Well, and that's exactly right. And the sales that are going to create the real earnings, not the earnings that we're seeing now on the backs of, you know, just slashing expenses, which is what we're seeing on Wall Street right now. Small business owners are going to create real sales and real earnings, and that's where it's going to come from. And I'll tell you something else, Rod. I think the future, this is not just about, you know, being strong during a recovery period. I mean, I think that once we get into the expansion mode, once this recovery is over and we're in the expansion mode, which we're headed towards, I think we're going to continue to see small business owners taking a bigger role in the marketplace, a bigger leadership role.
And that's the fascinating thing to me. I mean, obviously, you and I cover this for a living, but a lot of people, I'm sure you face these questions, they don't really understand, you know, the significance of small business. If you look at our Inc. 5000 list that came out this year and the reason we were having the conference, if you look at the companies on the list, since their founding, they've created more than 1 million jobs.
Hold on to that thought, Rod. We're going to stay with that. And folks, when we come back, we're also going to talk about 30 entrepreneurs under 30 right after these messages. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. We built it just for you. Whatever you've got on your mind under the small business sun, we've got something there you can read or listen to. And you can do it in 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, or 15 minutes. It's anywhere in between there. We got lots of different things that will take you a different amount of time to take advantage of. So I hope you'll do that. Don't forget to check out my blog and subscribe to my newsletter while you're there as well. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Rod Kurtz is our guest, our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He goes way back with us, and he's senior editor with Inc. magazine. And Rod, welcome back. It's one of the things I know you've been working hard on lately is this list of 30 outstanding entrepreneurs who are under 30. These whippersnappers who seem to have all the answers. Tell us about them.
Well, and I'm actually sad to report that starting tomorrow, I will be ineligible for my own list. That I turn 30 tomorrow, so I created the list about 4 years ago, and it's really a labor of love every year. It's a lot of fun to work on each and every year.
Happy birthday, Rod. I have clothes older than you.
Well, I appreciate that. You'd never know it to see it, Jim. But it really is the most fun project I put together every year with a great team at Inc. And, you know, we started this about 4 years ago because we started to notice a trend that entrepreneurs seem to be getting younger and younger and more successful. And so we set out every year. We get nominations from all across the country. We do a lot of independent research as well, and we try to zero in on the rising stars each year and looking at the different industries where they're making their mark. And this year's list I really think is probably the most dynamic we've ever had. And you see entrepreneurs in traditional industries that are sort of transforming them, and you see entrepreneurs in new industries. Certainly the web has made it possible to start a whole range of companies that, frankly, just a few years ago we wouldn't even have thought possible.
Right.
And, you know, it's a lot of fun. They've got a lot of energy, and I think the reason this trend is unfolding is it's gotten cheaper and easier for kids to start companies, and they have a whole host of tools at their disposal. They have a whole how-to industry, Inc. Magazine, the Small Business Advocate, things that didn't exist a generation ago. And frankly, we're seeing a lot of colleges that are fostering this. They're finally waking up to the fact that kids want to start companies. They don't want to take the traditional path, and I think the economy is the real winner here.
That's another thing, I think, Rod, that you mentioned the education thing, and I'm glad you did, because more and more colleges are offering, you know, some form of an entrepreneurial curriculum, if not a full-blown, you know, graduate level like Ohio State or Babson or Vanderbilt colleges, business schools I've interviewed who have those kinds of advanced entrepreneur programs. Many of them out there, probably most of them, have some kind of an entrepreneurial curriculum, including a lot of high schools these days. And so it's putting the germ, it's planting the seed in their brain, isn't it? That hey, you know, maybe I don't have to work for somebody else. Maybe I can start on my own. And as you say, with all the technology and the capability, and they're now graduating from college with, you know, with advanced capabilities in technology, Rod, in a way that you probably were, but I sure wasn't in my day.
Yeah, they're absolutely fostering this. I think they, you know, entrepreneurs tend to have a bug in their head anyway, but the more you nurture that in high school and college, as you mentioned, there's a great example from this year's list. We have a company on the list called Idea Paint that three co-founders who you mentioned, Babson. They were actually freshmen, I believe, in Babson. They
right.
actually have a dorm that is an entrepreneurship dorm.
That's in the, up in the Boston area, folks. It's a wonderful, wonderful college. And they're the folks who have been doing the, for about 10 years, they've been doing the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor. I like to give them a plug whenever I can. They do a great job up there, Rod.
Yeah, absolutely. And so these three guys, they, you know, as part of this entrepreneurship dorm, obviously they're brainstorming a lot. And they used to hang big pieces of paper on the wall and, you know, take out a magic marker and, you know, start scrawling ideas. And, you know, after doing this for a while, they said, this is really annoying that we have to hang this big piece of paper every time we want to brainstorm. It would be great if we could just write on the walls. And they literally invented this paint that you can paint any wall, any flat surface, and it turns it into a dry erase board. You know, how brilliant is that? That, you know, every entrepreneur out there, I'm sure, would be looking for something like this. And since they've sort of perfected this formula, MTV is a customer, the CIA is a customer. I mean, it's really clever stuff. And, you know, this is an idea that was literally born out of brainstorming. And it's great to see, you know, you're sitting around your dorm and you come up with what could be a $1 million idea.
Well, think about this, Rod. I mean, you know, when you're young, you're you know, one of the things that you are, if nothing else, is irreverent. And so if you're thinking about, okay, you know, my dad, you know, has this thing that you know, but what if we turn that thing upside down and painted it purple? Well, that would offend his dad or his mom if that was what they did. But the kids are willing to do that, and today they have the ability to turn that into what I call a niche of a niche.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that customers are becoming more and more fragmented, and there really is, I think, more opportunity than ever to build a better mousetrap, and that's what you're seeing a lot of these entrepreneurs doing, that they're going into somewhat traditional industries, and as you said, putting their own spin on it that a generation ago wouldn't have been thought of.
Well, and here's another thing that they're doing. They're tapping into their own generation, aren't they? I mean, whereas you know, old fossils like my generation are having a hard time determining what these young kids want. A lot of times they already know, and they have no learning curve in that area, do they?
Yeah, and that's the thing, that, you know, who knows the target market better than young people. There's a company on the list this year as well called Thrillist, which is actually just it's a pretty simple product. It's an email newsletter that goes out to young men, and it gives them advice on new bars, new restaurants, clothing sales, things like
where the,
that.
Where the girls hang out? Is that
where the girls hang out? Yeah. Excuse me, Rod.
Excuse me. Now, what is that URL?
It's called Thrillist. It's just Thrillist.com, and you can subscribe to the newsletter.
Thrillist.com. I'll just go there for educational purposes and check that out, though. Little Dan Fogelberg bring this back. That's from The Nexus. That's the song, The Nexus, from the Innocent Age album. One of the best albums of all time. I encourage you to check it out. You will, I promise you, folks, you'll consider it to be one of the best in your collection. And I've owned it for a long, long time. It came out in the early 80s, and back when you had cassette players in your car. So check that out, folks. I'm Jim Blaskin. Welcome back. I'm your host and your DJ. We're having a great visit with our good friend Rod Kurtz, who's senior editor at Inc. magazine. And Rod, tell us how we can find you. Tell us how we can find this article on 30 Under 30.
Oh, I wish it was just one article. It's really dozens of articles. We profile
that's right.
Company,
I should have said that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a labor of love every year. But if you go to inc.com/30under30, it's really a one-stop shop. We've got slideshows. We've got profiles. We actually, this year, for the first time, invited all our honorees to submit videos as well, so you can really get a sense of their personality. So it's you know, we gave them no criteria. We said, you have 60 seconds, tell us about your company, and it's great to see the different spins that they all put on it. But no, it's a lot of fun, and I think, you know, as I get older, you know, we joke my birthday is tomorrow, but you know, it really is inspiring, I think, for entrepreneurs of all ages, because at the end of the day, entrepreneurs have a common trait. You spoke of the irreverence earlier, and I think that there are a lot of lessons to be drawn out of this for entrepreneurs of all ages to see.
And by the way, it's inc.com, right?
Yeah, inc.com, inc.com, and then for this list specifically, it's just inc.com/30under30. So you can find it all there.
And I should have said body of work and not article. I don't know what I was thinking. But this is your baby. You've been doing this for several years, so congratulations. I'm proud of you for that. That's great leadership. You mentioned some things that we can learn from these guys. What do we learn from them?
Well, you know, I'm just looking at the list here now. The number 2 and 3 spots are actually a husband and wife team. They run a company called ModCloth, and at first glance, it's a pretty kind of common story. They run an online clothing site that specializes in vintage clothing and vintage inspired retro clothing, that kind of thing. And first of all, it was born out of a passion, which so many great businesses are. This woman, Susan Gregg Koger, they were dating at the time. They were starting at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, and they were going shopping because they were from, I think, Florida or some warm weather place, and they needed to get some warm clothing to survive that Pittsburgh winter. And they started going to these thrift stores and vintage stores, and she just loved this stuff. And she used to buy all kinds of clothing that didn't even fit her just because she loved this stuff so much. And they, you know, he said, well, you know, you've got all this clothing on your hand. We should sell some of it. So he started a website for her to sell it, and it started to take off. And now I think they're going to be doing $15 million in business this year.
Wow.
And what they say is the real edge, you know, there's so many clothing sites out there now. What they say is their real edge is that they're able to connect to their customers, that they have a lot of 20-somethings on staff who write articles and help do the styling of the site, and they really have their hand on the pulse of what customers are looking for. And you're seeing sites like this, they actually create content that people can read, and they have a blog, and it keeps people coming back to the site.
And that's
really
the community thing. But you know, Rod,
universe.
The thing I'm the most impressed with is I actually said that to my wife one time. I said, you know, you got all these clothes that you don't wear. We need to sell some of them. I was on the couch the next night. So I'm impressed that he actually pulled that off. But what you're saying, though, but what they did, and folks, this is, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you sell, from shoestrings to battleships. What these guys are doing that is so impressive, and what I think the young people are going to, one of the ways I think they could possibly dominate the market, and I say young people, I mean anybody who's willing to do what this couple did. Rod, they built a community. They didn't just build a company. They aggregated a community, and Rod, that's the future.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that that's been, for older, sort of stuck-in-their-way companies, I think that there's been somewhat of a rude awakening that it's a two-way street now. Customers aren't going to be shy about what they want. And, you know, it's really in your best interest to not only listen, but adapt accordingly. And I think that that's, you know, definitely a common thread. As you said, it doesn't really matter what you're selling, what your industry is. They always say the customer is always right, but more so than ever. And I think the smartest companies are the ones that are recognizing that.
Well, and Rod, this is another reason why I think this is the century of the entrepreneur, because this is the kind of thing that small business owners are better at than the big companies are.
They're more nimble. They can certainly adapt. And I think that for those of you listening out there that think this is scary, you know, I say it's an opportunity. I think it's, you know, once you warm up to the idea, I think it really can be an advantage. And as you said, it's where a smaller company can stand out against
the bigger. We don't have the luxury of thinking something scary, Rod. It's what we have to do. Hey, Rod, inc.com is the website, folks. 30 under 30 on the end of that. Thanks for being here, Rod. Congratulations on the good work.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Always a pleasure.
We'll see you next time. And happy birthday. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassing, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.